on Secul, how does Senator Dianne Feinstein's death affect the Senate?
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hi, welcome to Seculo on this Friday. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You may have awoken to the news this morning, depending on where you're listening in the country, or maybe if you're just waking up, that Senator Dianne Feinstein, who after voting this week in the U.S. Senate, I think on Wednesday, final public appearance there, passed away in her sleep in Washington, D.C. So as a U.S. senator, there's been a lot of talk about her health, of course, so she's missed a lot of time in the U.S. Senate over this past year. There's an ongoing race. She was not running for re-election at 90 years old as she passes away. So there's an ongoing primary race right now. People like Adam Schiff and others are in this race to fill her seat. And of course, the Democrat primary is where the real kind of primary, the real fight is, because if they, whoever gets through that is likely going to be the next U.S. senator from California. So Gavin Newsom, the governor, gets to choose the replacement. Now, he can choose someone who's running in the primary and put his finger on the scale of kind of who he wants to be the next senator from California, or he could just kind of choose a placeholder, someone you might not, might be someone that works inside the politics or the government, who's, they're going to be a solid Democrat vote. We know that. They're not going to be there to make waves either, who will just finish out the term. Now, the question goes into this. That can happen as quickly as they want. So right now, they still have a one-vote majority in the Senate. Technically, it's kind of like a two-vote majority. If you get a tie, the vice president could come in and break that. So it's not really a concern when it comes to strict party line votes. When it gets into more complicated issues and you throw in the fact that you've got all these Democrat senators calling for Bob Menendez to resign, then it starts getting a little dicier, because then you're going to 50-50 with potentially, you know, for at least some period of time, with Harris having to vote on everything contingent.
Potentially a year. I mean, a solid year until after the election, yes. and after inauguration.
So it could affect the real controversial issues that even a few Democrat senators don't necessarily support party line. We always talked with Menendez. We talked about the Iran deal. He was part of four senators, Democrats, who voted against that. Right now, they don't have four to lose if something like that were to get to the Senate. We also have the shutdown talk. And we would take your calls on this at 1-800-684-3110, because House Republicans, at least a chunk of House Republicans, believe that this is something that the American people are going to be okay with, that this is not going to turn voters off in the next election cycle if there's a temporary government shutdown. We'll talk about what does and doesn't get affected right off the bat when we get back from our break. If you got calls about that at 1-800-684-3110, because you're going to see Washington working basically 24 hours into the weekend, and even when the shutdown occurs, they continue working, so you can see them kind of working almost nonstop on C-SPAN trying to get spending bills through. Right now, it doesn't look like there's a path other than a continuing resolution, which could keep the government open for, you know, a week or 2 weeks, that the House and Senate agree on. It's not clear that there's enough House Republicans to see that through, by the way. They'd have to pass 8 more separate appropriation bills by midnight on October 1st. That is not just like having a vote, by the way. So I don't know that that's as likely as potentially seeing a continuing resolution, though even that I would not bet on. It looks like we're heading towards some kind of shutdown. Yeah. I don't know how long it lasts. That always kind of remains to be seen. Sometimes they happen on these weekends, and by like, you know, Monday afternoon, the government's reopened, so technically it had no effect. Sometimes they last, you know, a week or two, and you know, the trash starts piling up on Capitol Hill. Military pay doesn't go out. There are checks that don't get written.
Yeah, absolutely. We're taking your calls, as you said, at 1-800-684-3110. And also, we want you to go support the work of the ACLJ. Go to aclj.org. Sign our current petition. We're trying to get over 150,000 people, Jordan, on this, in the 14th Amendment claim.
That's right. We are filing a response to a motion to dismiss in Colorado today, where we've intervened representing the Colorado Republican Party on that 14th Amendment issue. Filed 3 lawsuits, are about to file an amicus brief in Minnesota, and that's where you come in. We need you to join our amicus brief and defend your right to vote. Sign that petition at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. You got us over the 100,000. Let's get to 150,000. aclj.org. If you got questions, calls for us about how all these issues affect you, 1-800-684-3110. Do you support a shutdown?
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
All right, welcome back to Secular. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Senator Dianne Feinstein has passed away. It was unclear for a period of time if she was even going to return to the U.S. Senate. There was a lot of controversy when she did return
over the summer,
kind of elder abuse issues and this issue of when you elect a U.S. senator, yes, they have big staffs who help advise them on policies and votes, but you are not electing that staff to make decisions. You know, we're electing that senator to make the call. And it gets questionable when they can't even really read the piece of paper in front of them.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad in a way, and abusive in some sense. And listen, this is happening on both sides of the aisle if you look at the U.S. Senate.
Yes,
I think
sure.
Nikki Haley said it's the world's most expensive retirement home, or something like that. And again, it's not unusual that the Senate is going to age older than the House. You have to be older to even be in the U.S. Senate. But
right.
At the same time, it's kind of going through a generational shift right now.
Yeah.
There's Mitch McConnell. There's these others. They're not going to be there a decade from now.
She was elected in the early 90s, and that doesn't feel all that long ago to most of us, but really you're talking about 30-plus years ago. And if you were going in at age of 40 or going in your mid-40s now or in your 50s even, obviously we're getting towards 80. We're getting towards 90 if you started your career in the 90s. At the Senate. I mean, she probably been working. I think she was the mayor of San Francisco and all that beforehand. Also, I think it's different when you saw sort of a change in the way she even spoke and a lot of these people spoke when you talk about who's actually pulling the strings, who's actually making these statements, because it went from a person who really was one of the creators of the Amber Alert system, was pretty strong on the border, a lot of those issues, to becoming more and more inline progressive. And then obviously, sadly, will be known probably to our audience for her dogma lives loudly in you moment.
That was one of the last times she kind of had the, I feel like since that moment.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's been a rapid decline.
That was sort of the turning point. That's been a number of years ago now.
And that may have been when the staff said you don't get to just talk off the top of your head anymore. But again, you do have to question some of these issues. But voters, obviously, they sent these people back when they're 84. The bigger issue is not, listen, Gavin Newsom is going to put in a solid Democrat vote. The question is, short term, what does it do? Well, the Senate Democrats still have a majority. They still have, now they are saying, you know, Menendez should step down. That would put that 50-50, but then you got the vice president at who could carry the day. So they still have a couple of seats to play with. That doesn't really help you on issues that are real controversial. On government funding, it probably does. And so when people go to the shutdown issue,
We have a lot of calls coming in about that.
Yeah, let's take one of those.
I think, and the other big issue is the Judiciary Committee. The committee itself does not have to seat a placeholder senator. So the Democrats could lose their majority on the Senate Judiciary Committee, which would stop would make it much easier for Republicans to prevent liberal judicial nominees from getting approved and out of committee and onto the Senate floor for a vote. So where it could have its biggest effect is they kept her on the Senate Judiciary Committee. If there was a Supreme Court vacancy right now,
yeah,
Republicans could keep. You'd end up with that weird thing where that seat was open so long that they tried to put Merrick Garland in. They didn't ultimately, and Republicans held
towards
out.
The end of the end of the session. Yep. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. Fred's calling from Tennessee on line two. Fred, you're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. My question is, and it usually happens that when they shut down the government for however long, that it's the people on Social Security, the military, and all those people that get jerked. And I was just wondering what your take is on who's going to lose the money.
A lot of politics of shutdowns. I think that they kind of overplay what is a full government shutdown. I will tell you this. Medicare, Social Security, and VA benefits go out regardless of a shutdown. So any Democrat who's telling you you're not going to get your Social Security check, your Medicare check, or VA benefits is lying. Any politician, for that matter, is not telling the truth. Now, that you did talk about military pay. That's not the same as VA benefits. So it gets very politicized, and they can start using kind of ranking items and kind of, I think, making the shutdown more painful for the party who initiated it by, and listen, usually the party gets blamed who's in charge. And if it originates in the House of Representatives, you can say, well, the Democrats don't want to vote on this, they don't want to vote on that. But if you have the speakership and you have the majority, even if it's slim, you are going to take the brunt of you've got to defend why you got to this point. The interesting part right now is that I don't think Republicans are united in the House of Representatives. It's not like 99% of House Republicans want a shutdown. We're seeing a group of hardline Republicans who also want to try to kick out McCarthy next week, which takes a majority vote. And so there's a lot of politicking going on amongst the Republican Party on Capitol Hill right now, especially in the House of Representatives.
Yeah, it'd be big distractions as well. You bring up the shutdown. This is from the USA Today that said the military officials have already prepared Friday to cut pay for troops and civilians and close offices and activities deemed non-essential to national security as the deadline nears for the government shutdown, obviously expected to begin at midnight, 12:01 on Sunday. So they're already prepping for this.
Yes. I mean, I think at this point, when you get to the weekend, I mean, it's Friday. I could always be surprised with a continuing resolution maybe tonight or tomorrow. Maybe they go into shutdown for a couple hours and they get one of those through. So they kind of have the weekend. Technically it starts at 12:01 Sunday morning, so right at the stroke of midnight at when you get to your Saturday evening. But the weekend gives them time to get through like a continuing resolution. I think right away where people don't like this is military pay. It does. If their check was supposed to be there next week, it's not going out. So it's going to be delayed. They will ultimately be paid. And so you don't like miss a paycheck.
Right.
You might get two paychecks. So, but that doesn't mean
you're delayed.
A lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck
know even
right
the
now.
Military, how bad that's
become. I think with this economy right now, this doesn't go over well with people. I would not be supporting. I know people are on both sides of this. I think you got to figure out a budget. I don't care if it's a full budget or just one of those keep it going for six more months, kick the can down the road. But at a time when so many Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, up and down the pay scale too, because of people's mortgage rates going up and interest rates going, everything costing more. I don't know if this is going to resonate with so many Americans who are going into a general election year. When you're going to a presidential election year, you're getting a lot more voters who don't like these kind of issues. Like, they already think Washington's dysfunctional. Now they're like, I said you there, you do these shutdowns, you want to get rid of the speaker, why aren't you dealing with the issues that American people care about? So we'll take your calls on at 1-800-684-3110. We go back to the phones.
All right, let's continue on. Let's go to Randy, who's calling on line one. Randy, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, man? Thank you for having me chat for a minute. I really don't think America's ready for a shutdown. It's not going to happen. I think they're smarter than that. I mean, if they do, I think the people who work on Capitol Hill and stuff will have enough money in the bank to live on for 2 months, and then if it goes that far, I think they're going to come to a solution and take a couple things out, because it's already, you know, like the 10 toes of Daniel, because they're messing with the Constitution so much and taking out their religious stuff. It's not no stability there anyway, so they've got to get some stability back in America.
I do think this makes the country feel unstable.
But it has happened many times in our lives.
Many times, and there's usually short-term political consequences and not long-term.
Yeah, it's a scarier word.
We might be so far away from the next year election that it really doesn't impact it. I don't know that people are going to remember this if it's for 3 days or a week.
Yeah.
They're probably not going to remember that moment. Unless what they always warn you about is if, God forbid, something catastrophic happens in the middle of one of these, and you're going to, you know, you're sending people off to war, but you're not sending them a paycheck.
Yeah.
So they're going to go die for the country, put themselves in harm's way for the country. Of course, they've also zeroed out Ukraine funding. So you won't get your military pay, but the Ukraine military will.
Meaning that, to clarify, not that no funding is going to be made. All funding will still be processed. That's one of the exceptions to the rules, the exemptions. All right. We can take one more quick call. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Like all these calls coming in. Bill in Wyoming on line 3. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for letting me talk to you today. As far as the shutdown goes, I'm kind of in the gray area because of the fact that it all depends upon how it's handled, if you ask me, because of the fact that blowback on either side can really be devastating. And didn't we have a technical shutdown when Obama sequestered the government? I might be wrong on that, but did we or did we not?
Yeah, I believe we did. Yeah, we did. There was a. Was that the last shutdown? Was it Obama?
I'll check.
It's been longer than it feels. I feel like for a while they were maybe under Obama they were happening more regularly because of Obamacare. There were a lot of CRs. There were a lot of weekends where it would like shut down for a couple days too, like you said.
Yeah,
and they would kind of kick the can down the road. I remember that over and over again. And I think, listen, ultimately everybody's going to get paid. Ultimately, this doesn't have the same. The consequences that they kind of usually
There was a government shutdown at the end of 2018.
Okay, so there was another one.
Yeah,
that
went on for 35 days,
35 days?
Yeah, it was one of the longest.
What was that about?
That was about, I'll have to look it up. Shutdowns become less common in recent decades, but it was the longest in more than 40 years was the last one, so we'll see what goes. I'll find out
the details. I remember the trash piling up.
Yeah, I know.
That was that one, I think. All right, 1-800-684-3110, but see, you remember it, but it's not even... It's still a blip because 30 days in 5 years, you know, a lot has happened in your life.
Right.
A lot of changes.
That was over Christmas and to New Year's, so people weren't paying really even that as much attention.
All right.
Everyone was affected.
1-800-684-3110. Tell me what your thoughts, your comments on the air.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
All right, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Yeah, if you do look at how the history of government shutdowns, I mean, they basically were happening every year, multiple times a year in the 80s.
I feel like we grew up hearing about government shutdowns.
Yeah, 81, 82, twice in 82, twice, 83, 84, twice, 86, 87, 90, 95, 2 and 95. Then you go jump forward to 2013 on Obamacare and 2018 over the wall. This one is a little bit more difficult to... I think this is just on spending in general. Then you've got everybody's got kind of their pet project issues. Is it Ukraine funding? Is it border funding? Is it military funding? There was a legislation to pass to take the Secretary of Defense's pay down to $1 a year because he's not doing his job. They think he's focusing too much on diversity and equity and inclusion and not enough on actual protecting our country and building the military. So they've done that. Ultimately, it's kind of a hodgepodge. There is some kind of breaking news to report, though. The House Republicans on Friday did advance a GOP stopgap bill to avoid a government shutdown. That clears a procedural hurdle that some Republicans did oppose the legislation. The chamber voted 218 to 210. That only kicks off the debate. They will then have a final vote. So we're going to kind of know by this afternoon, Logan, if the House is able to get the votes together to prevent a shutdown. I mean, basically, that doesn't do it, but it lets them have a vote on it by the end of the day.
Yes, I mean, there's a lot happening.
So you go into the weekend with a good indication of is it shutting down or not?
Yeah, it'll be nice to have maybe some of those answers. And the fact that, look, so we're live, we can report these things as they happen. But we talked about in the break, it does also feel like there's chaos, whether it's in the House or the Senate. There's always this sort of mess happening right now. It seems like it's never business as usual. Now it's always, we got to replace McCarthy. We got to shut down the government. We have something else happening that ultimately a lot of it feels like distraction.
Yeah, I don't know the point of you're replacing Kevin McCarthy with his deputy. The majority whip, someone from leadership. Are you going to get Democrat votes for that?
Yeah,
So you've got to question that. Every House Republican is not going to vote to remove Kevin McCarthy. I'm not sure Democrats are going to help Republicans put in someone they think is more conservative. Right. I mean, that's it just doesn't. So is it just to embarrass or drag out? I mean, again, this is Republicans with a lot of issues. And we're very honest on this broadcast. The Democrats are the minority in the House. So. You could try to get their votes for things, but they don't have to necessarily be helpful. We'll take your calls 1-800-684-3110 on the shutdown issue. We kind of talked through the Feinstein issue. I think again there, Gavin Newsom can appoint someone if he wants to today. The only thing that really affects, it's only going to be about a year because you've got the primary already ongoing there. The only real effect you could see, which is significant, is in the Judiciary Committee. Republicans don't have to allow that senator because they weren't elected to join the committee. So to replace her seat, and they don't have to let Democrats put someone else forward. So it could get complicated there on getting judicial nominees through, and you never know when there's going to be a vacancy. There's always vacancies in the appellate courts and district courts, but even at the U.S. Supreme Court. So there are always what-if situations. So I don't want to play down that it doesn't mean anything. It is a very slim Democrat majority in the U.S. Senate right now. So any controversial legislation, they're not going to be able to lose votes. They were kind of already at that point, but even more so now that you've got the Feinstein gone and at least some period of time, probably be replaced very quickly. But then you got the push also with that call too for Menendez to step down, another Senate Democrat. So we'll continue taking phone calls at 1-800-684-3110.
Let's go to Sam in Kentucky online too. Sam, you're on the air.
Oh, yes, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I guess I don't understand when the whole Congress has known that, September 30th is coming. That date hasn't changed in many, many years, and they take 6 weeks off starting late July through August up to Labor Day. I don't understand why they didn't stay and get the job done. Yeah. Before they took...
To be honest, the congressional recess is not 6 weeks off for them. It's a recess out of Washington, D.C., and the business in Congress. By the way, they can always come back if they want to, and they have before in history. It's actually a time they're supposed to be back to you. I mean, so Sam, we actually cut that time out so that there's a period of time where they don't have an excuse not to be in their constituency. So if you're a member of the House You might take a few days of that as your vacation, but really you're supposed to be, and most people do, holding public events, attending events locally, talking to your constituents. So if we didn't have that period of time, they'd all go to Washington and they'd forget about who they represented. I mean, let's be honest, both sides of the aisle, because it's easy to start doing that in Washington, because if you don't keep your connection to home. So that recess, while I think we live in a modern time where we have air travel and we have things, you could probably update a lot of these rules, and it probably doesn't need to be six, maybe it doesn't need to be 6 weeks. And you're right about one thing too. They know this deadline's coming. So it's not like, at the same time, there are a group of House Republicans, Logan, that have caused, they've been troublemakers.
Yeah, and that seems to be, it's kind of hard to gauge where people are on that. I think a lot of people like it.
They like the individuals sometimes. They always like the results.
They like the chaos of it going, all right, it's kind of like when they put McCarthy in. The amount of people that, there was a lot of people on board.
How many hours did we watch that for?
I mean, it was days. It was days, but a lot of people were on board with it going, you know what? We need to be breaking the system anyway. We should be doing this. And then a lot of the other of us were going, okay, get on with it. We know how this is going to end. So let's quit wasting time. And I think that's more where I always land, which is quit wasting time. I mean, I like the showmanship. I like the UK parliamentary side of this. But come on, let's actually get the job done, especially when you're at a time when Americans are hurting.
Yep. All right, back to the phones we go.
Barbara in Utah, you're on the air.
Hey, Barbara.
Hi, thank you. I hope they do shut the government down.
There you go.
I think that's the appropriate response to all this. Every time they do a CR, they're just ways to spend more money, which they don't have. If I run out of money, I don't get to spend more money, and they shouldn't either.
Yeah, the spending is out of control, and I have no issue with that. I think if you could actually get enough people elected to start cutting government spending, that's a good thing. And getting towards a balanced budget. I think the debt issue does hurt the country when you see the debt issues, when you look at the interest rate issues, all of it. I think where people freak out on this is not any disagreement with what you just said, Barbara, or that what I just said about the government spending money it doesn't have, and really that's our money, and then our money becomes less valuable. Interest rates go up, the dollar is less valuable. I mean, that is we see that time and time again through history. And we're kind of used to being a country where eventually the dollar comes back roaring and you kind of forget about it, you move on. But we're in a different time right now. I think where people are questioning, I mean, the invasion of Ukraine was the ultimate, I think the biggest move that would be like the downfall of the U.S. would be if China really did invade Taiwan. That would be the ultimate, yeah, America doesn't matter.
And then what do we do?
And it doesn't matter, but is it the superpower that could really tell the world what you can and can't do to some extent? Obviously, there's bad things happening all over the world. We can't solve all of them, but the big things, that you're not going to cross the United States of America or any of their allies. And what you saw in Russia was a kind of a crossing of a quasi-ally.
Yeah.
Ukraine.
So it's been always kind of...
Well, just since the end of the Cold War, it's not been fully on... It's been a rough country also.
And also a lot of controversy that come out of the country. We are going to keep taking your phone calls. We love taking your phone calls today on Friday. It's nice to actually hear from you guys what your point of view is. Phone lines are jammed right now, but they will open up. 1-800-684-3110. We have a second half hour coming up on Seculo as well. If you don't get it on your local station, if you're listening on the radio, you can find us broadcasting live at ACLJ.org, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook. We are there. And again, we are currently in the middle of trying to get a lot of you, to get 150,000 of you to sign our current petition, 14th Amendment cases. We really could use your help. Obviously, you can support it financially, donate, but I'll sign that petition right now. Well over 100,000. We're headed towards 150,000. That's at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
106-8431-10 to join us on this Friday. People have a lot of thoughts, which I expect they would, on the government shutdown issue. You also have the death of U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein. It's not shocking that she passed away at 90.
No.
I think if you saw her recently,
it was, she was on the floor 2 days ago.
But yeah, I mean, she was Wednesday. She passed away in D.C. She didn't pass away in California, so she was working until she died. There was a lot of question over the last couple of years about whether or not she should be there. And again, California voters did decide when she was, I guess, 84 to reelect someone who was 84 to a 6-year term.
Yeah.
And so voters get to make those decisions. Now, if you ask what happens, all states are different. California, the governor just gets to appoint the person. So Gavin Newsom gets to pick the placeholder. I would imagine he's not going to pick anybody running in the primary right now because she wasn't running for reelection. You had Adam Schiff and others running to replace her in the U.S. Senate. The Democrat primary is, of course, the whole game in California right now.
Just put somebody in.
Probably somebody like her chief of staff or somebody from his team. They're going to be a solid Democrat vote. They're not going to make waves. They're going to vote with them.
Disappear for a year, essentially.
Yes. Now, where this gets tougher for them is on the Judiciary Committee. She had a very important seat on that committee, which approves judicial nominees and gets them to the floor of the Senate for a full confirmation vote. And Republicans don't have to allow her replacement to fill that seat. So it could even that up, making it more difficult to get judicial nominees to the floor of the U.S. Senate. So that's where the issue is there. I think the bigger issue to the American people right now, listen, maybe the Feinstein issue pushes the shutdown over. Maybe these kind of things are when Washington says
enough.
Yeah, you know, with the goofiness people. Because even if you're, listen, if you were somebody who worked in politics a long time, you knew her. It didn't matter what aisle, side of the aisle you were on. And so her staff, a lot of these people too, their staff, if they're 90, their staffs are in their 70s. You know, some of their top staff.
For sure.
It could have been Washington for a very long time. And I don't know. I thought it was interesting that while we were on the air, House Republicans were able to pass, which people didn't even know they would get that, to be able to start opening debate on a continuing resolution. It doesn't fund the government for a year. It's not a full budget. It's kind of what we've gotten used to, honestly.
At least put pause.
It gives them opportunity to stop the shutdown. Actually stop the shutdown from happening before we even get much closer, which is tomorrow at midnight.
All right, let's continue on taking the calls. We got a lot of calls coming in, and as soon as we take one, a phone line clears up, so keep calling us, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Colleen in Kentucky. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller, and I just wanted to say that I know we all worry about, you know, the active duty and the veterans and all of those people getting paid, but I want everybody to remember, you know, when we do have those shutdowns, all those contract workers, they don't get those back pays. They don't get that retroactive paycheck. They just go without the paycheck. And like you said, everybody going paycheck to paycheck makes it hard. And I just want to make sure everybody remembers that. And, I fully understand the complexities of what's going on, and we don't want to pass something that we don't agree with. And just something for food for thought. And thanks so much for taking my call.
Yeah, I don't generally like these shutdowns. I think that politically they hurt the party who was responsible for them. You can always say, well, it's not really the Republicans. The Democrats don't want to vote for it. But again, if you're the party in charge, if you have the majority, even how slim it might be, and you can't get the budget out of your House of Congress, and this is the House of Representatives, you take the blame. I'm not a huge fan of them. I do understand the concerns about the spending out of control. But I think to get to the spending under control, you have to win elections. You know, I think you have to deal in reality. The reality is we have a slim majority in the House, we didn't take back the Senate, and we lost the White House. Maybe we can change all of that in a year. It's possible. You have to get a lot of people, but I'm not sure if these are the way you get new people or that group of independent voters, which is smaller and smaller in the country, to actually come on your side and get out and cast a vote for you.
All right, we are continuing to take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. It's been a fun show hearing from all of you and your points of view. Two lines are open right now, again, 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ by visiting aclj.org. Not only can you financially support Sign the Petitions, but look at the incredible just free content that we provide you, whether that is video, audio, whether that is incredible blogs and stories. Just go look at aclj.org. It's a treasure trove there. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Secular. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. There's a lot of talk, obviously, on the government shutdown. Do we get there? I think it's pretty close to saying you ring the alarm bell, because they are going to have a vote this afternoon in the House on a continuing resolution. I don't think they have the votes for it yet. They had a votes to get to the debate. That was 218 to 210, so pretty close. But I don't think they have the votes to actually get that passed as of right now. By this afternoon, that may have changed. By tomorrow, that could change. More and more pressure, more and more deals get cut. But it looks like the way around the government shutdown right now is going to be one of those continuing resolutions, not going to be these full appropriations. So you honestly kind of, you're kicking the can down the road, but you're going to be facing these issues again. I think that people, for the most part, we've heard from government employees that it does affect. If you're not a government employee, I think you kind of say, I don't know if I care about this right now. But if you're someone who is on any kind of government benefit, you start freaking out. And they don't make it real clear to the Social Security checks. They don't make it real clear about Medicare. They don't make it real clear about VA benefits. But those don't stop. Military pay does stop.
Yeah, I think that should affect a lot of people.
Most government, if you work for the federal government all over the country, you're not getting paid.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. So think about that when you're really talking about whether you want a government shutdown.
Locked. Like, the lights go off. There's no bills being paid. The trash doesn't get picked up.
Yeah. What about, like, the postal service? What about those kind of things? That's something to check in.
No, because it's still, things still get delivered because you got to deliver the checks.
So that's an exception there.
Yeah, I think so. Right, that's kind of like, it's like Amtrak.
Okay. Well, I didn't know. I know there's obviously something going on there. I'm just curious about those kind of things. The DMV.
Amazon will just charge them $50 million.
Exactly.
A minute to do it.
All right, let's keep going. Let's go through some more calls. Jeremy, Oregon, line 5. You're up.
Well, yeah, I was just wanting to say that when they gave him Kevin McCarthy the speakership, it was under the condition that he would give the power back more to the people instead of how they've been governed for the last, couple of decades. The speaker kind of just controls everything. He can do whatever he wants.
I mean, he can't do whatever he wants. You have control about some legislation, but ultimately, if you have the votes to get things done in Congress, you get to do what you want. But you have to get the votes together. I mean, it's a very powerful position. I'm not trying to say it's not. He did ultimately get the position, and so when you say power to the people, We elect these representatives. We don't get a direct vote. It's not direct democracy in America. It's a republic. So these are people that represent you at all these different levels. And ultimately, they have to answer to you for their actions. And for most of the country, it's pretty divided. Like, you either live in a red area or a blue area. There's not too many. There's some left, but not many that are kind of 50-50.
Like cities and areas? Yeah.
Even congressional districts.
Yeah, it's pretty clear, usually, for the most part. I mean, at least in major markets,
there's some states left, if you will, where you could talk about the U.S. Senate races, where it's a little more 50-50. But you're talking about the House of Representatives. You know if you live in a blue district or a red one.
Yep.
If you follow politics. If you even follow who your member of Congress is.
All right, continuing on, let's go.
Which most people can't name.
Yeah.
Still.
Don't quiz me. Kathy's calling on line one. You're on the air.
Thank you very much for what you guys do, and thank you for taking my call. But my question is that I keep thinking the first three words of the Constitution is, are we the people? The question I have is, okay, right now you guys are doing an awesome job of fighting for former President Trump, who I'm going to be voting for, whether he's on the ballot or not. But the thing is that if the Democrats are trying to push this on Trump, why can't we do the same thing to Biden?
Okay. One is, I don't think we want to do that, right? We don't believe that what they're doing is right. So we're not going to take a 14th Amendment and tell people they can't support, they can't vote for Joe Biden.
This was the concern that I think a lot of people had, which is if Democrats do it, the Republicans are just going to do it, and it's going to go back and forth forever, and all of a sudden you trivialize everything.
Everything. You trivialize impeachment. You trivialize the what it means to run for office. You start having your Republican Secretary of State or Democrat Secretary of State decide who's on the ballot. You could get into issues. So you don't go to their level. What we want to fight for is a fair fight, an honest election. Just give me the opportunity to take my message to the American people and let them vote. Count their votes. Let them decide who they want to vote for. Don't try to preemptively decide if a random Secretary of State in one state decides this person, violated the Constitution. You can remove them without any kind of due process. And so that's what we're fighting. I don't think we seek to their level. I honestly believe that impeachment hearing yesterday or inquiry hearing kind of showed that. When you just kind of hold them tit for tat, listen, they looked just almost as bad as the Democrats did when they were trying to come up with a reason to impeach Trump over phone call.
Trying to come up with reasons that
well, they Republicans called three witnesses, and all three witnesses under oath testified that there was enough information to actually support impeachment. So that did not look great. Now, I don't know who put together those witnesses, but they should be fired.
Absolutely. All right, let's go.
There's a lot of people on the Republican side of strategy that need to be fired. Who are advising these members of Congress.
Yeah, because it feels like they blow it when it comes to these kind of situations.
They blow it. They go on TV. They say they have great evidence. It's never great. Yeah. The Democrats are better at a lot of this. They just are.
Well, they're better, even if they don't have the evidence, they're better at getting the messaging out that they have the evidence, so then when the actual evidence comes out and there's nothing there, that part doesn't get reported.
Yeah, and they unite.
Yep. Let's go ahead.
Much more united party.
Let's go ahead and take a call from Elma, who is calling in Texas. You're on the air.
Okay, great. Thank you guys for taking my call.
No problem.
And I wanted to relate to you that I've been bombarded by Republicans asking for my donations.
I'm sorry, Elma. You were on hold for a long time, so I'll put you back on hold, and we're going to try to get to you, but we just cannot really get a clear signal from you. Can we go to Jimmy real quick? Let's go to Jimmy in Arkansas, line three. Jimmy, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for letting me speak on this thing. And I wanted to thank the Holy Warriors at ACLJ for what they do, and others also, Judicial Watch and other ones like that stand in the gap, make up the hedge. But my thing is that Mr. McCarthy's going through a bad thing, and he is, and that's between him, God, and his wife. But when they when things that are bad like that allow these snakes, these rhino snakes, to raise their head.
I better jump in. Is this?
I don't think we should comment on that necessarily, because I'm not sure exactly the thing. Is that, I don't know if that's one of the reasons.
I don't think there's any personal
issues.
They
just don't care for politics. The way he deals with Democrats, really.
No, they don't like. They don't think he's being tough enough on this and that. I don't think it's personal, like that personal. Yeah, I haven't heard anything personal.
I haven't looked at it, to be honest. So.
Have you seen that? I follow a lot of news.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure where you're going there. So
we're gonna stop. Is Elma ready? We need to check on her still. We still need to check on her. All right, we'll wait a couple minutes.
For the most part, if we don't get her back, which is she's being bombarded with fundraising. And that is true because of the new system set up by both the Republican and Democrat parties, where basically fundraising flows through one system. So if you get if you donate to one Republican, you can basically get all the other Republicans' requests. And when you got multi-party candidate primaries going through, they allow all the candidates to move through. So there is an inundation. I think you have to look before you click to make sure your donation is going to who you want it to go to.
Yep. Let's go ahead and just tell you guys, we have one segment coming up, and we've loved taking your calls today. We have a couple lines still open. 1-800-684-3110. We've gone through so many, and probably dozens of calls already today, the most we've taken in maybe years. So we love hearing from you, though. 1-800-684-3110. And in the next segment, usually, is when we get to all our calls. But today, we've been going through them the whole time to try to clear up lines so more people could call. This is a good opportunity. 1-800-684-3110. Also, Jordan, I know a lot of people obviously tune in because of the news and how we can break down what's going on, the situation going on with the passing of Senator Feinstein. But we're also currently in the middle of our 14th Amendment battle. We have a lot of cases going on. Maybe people don't know that there are some updates happening right now, potentially, in Colorado, some of the others.
We filed a motion to dismiss in Colorado today, a response to a motion to dismiss. We intervened successfully in West Virginia this week, representing the West Virginia Republican Party. We're in Minnesota as well, filing an amicus brief there. So in three of these lawsuits, we're parties in the lawsuit representing Republican parties. And that's, again, we talked about Oklahoma, Colorado, West Virginia. In Minnesota, we're going to file an amicus brief there. So we're taking each state. We're looking at the best strategy to move forward. But the idea here is to beat this down, this idea that, again, you're going to be told that you can't vote for Donald Trump in the primary. And it's about Donald Trump this election. But as these state parties that we represent are asserting, you know, this has big ramifications for the future. And as some of you call it, that there's always the feeling that you want to just respond tit for tat, that you want to say, well, if they do it, let's do it to them. And that's really not, I don't think that's the American way to move forward. You don't sink to their level. I mean, on every tactic, at least. Yeah. I mean, you know, and I think impeachment's one of those. And I think trying to tell people that they can't even decide who they want in their primary to represent them in their party is another one of those issues. And that's what we're fighting back, is your right to vote. And it has the implications, obviously, for this election, but it also has a huge ramification for the future, because if they are given this kind of power, you will not be deciding who your candidates are. So state to state, a Democrat Secretary of State is going to decide who Republicans get to vote for, and a Republican Secretary of State is going to decide who Democrats get to vote for. It's just not right. 1-800-684-3110 to join us on the air. Support the work of the ACLJ. We moved our petition goal up to 150,000. We want you to join it at aclj.org to protect your right to vote.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
1-800-684-3110. Final segment of the broadcast. It's been a quick show today.
We let the caller do all the heavy lifting. That's the right. Fun part. You should call more because you know what? We don't have to talk as much. No. Yeah. Let's go ahead and...
Helps the vocal cords.
Yeah, we do have three lines open right now because we've taken so many calls. 1-800-684-3110. Let's fill those up with your comments either on your questions about the government shutdown, your questions about the passing of Dianne Feinstein, what that means. We'll take those or any of the topics we covered this week. We're happy to discuss them. Let's go ahead and go to Kimberly, who's calling in Pennsylvania. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. I wanted to make the comment specifically that since I am a Department of Defense public servant to the people, but yet, you know, a citizen of this country myself, so I think this shutdown absolutely positively has to happen. It's going to affect me. I'm going to lose my pay temporarily, but we are sick to death of the bureaucracy in our government in D.C., and the games McCarthy and company are playing. And I am a Scott Perry fan from Pennsylvania and the Freedom Caucus. And let me just say one more thing. We do not want to see these billions keep being fed to Ukraine. So this has to happen.
Yeah, I think that it's an interesting and very honest coming from someone who, listen, your livelihood is tied. You're a federal contractor on DOD. And you're talking about the Ukraine money. There are honest, real issues. I think why you have to wait till 2 days before a shutdown to address them is what upsets the American people in general. That's why we had a lot of callers say, you know, they know where the deadline is. So I think if you're very in tune with politics, I think you are, but you understand some of this is because you can't get even attention on these issues until you get close to a shutdown. People won't ignore it. They don't want to spend the time on those issues. Honestly, the funding to Ukraine is not going to be affected by this. We know that. So even if you're someone who's really concerned about that, that's not going to be where it's going to be saved. I don't love the fact that the money goes there, but the American people have to worry about getting their checks.
Yeah,
that I don't love.
That's a concern.
Don't love that.
All right.
Don't love the optics of that either, because you let someone write that into a political ad next year. And again, I'm not against the Freedom Caucus. We're very concerned. We're the ACLJ. I mean, it's just tactically, we get outplayed in Washington. How many times? Just ask yourself. How many times are Republicans won the tactical battles in D.C.? I can't answer one.
Yeah.
Can't answer. We were able to beat back the impeachment of Donald Trump, but he got impeached by the House.
Yeah, exactly.
Because every Democrat voted to impeach him, basically, except for two or three. Right now, there's not enough House Republicans to vote to impeach Joe Biden. They're trying to have an impeachment.
Yeah, because I think a lot...
They're tactically failures.
Yeah, at least at some point... Maybe, I guess, the Republicans can look at it and go, are we being honest with what the claims are? Now, I'm not saying there's other things that he couldn't be impeached over.
Claims,
but the current claims that they're bringing.
Can you prove them in court?
Yeah.
And if you couldn't prove them in court, how are you going to prove them to the American people? Which is even actually technically should be easier because you don't have to have the same standards as court.
Yeah.
But they got three witnesses yesterday who all went up there. These were witnesses Republicans chose, and it makes you scratch your head and go, God, these guys, again, three witnesses who got up there, and when they got under oath, had to say, no, there's not enough grounds for impeachment here. And I don't know if you'll ever be able to find the information.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and take the call. Next call. Let's go to Renee, who's calling in Arizona.
They spent 6 hours on that 2 days before a government shutdown.
Oh, you saw them. Like, I saw them at the end of the night, just, you know, pretty beat from their hard day of investigation. Let's go to Renee, who's calling from Arizona online, too. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm just wondering, what do we need to do to get all of the GOP together in Washington, D.C., rather than to be so doggone splintered?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think the Republican Party is always going to be a more splintered party because we're a bigger tent party. So the Democrat, and that's kind of shifted over history, but we're right now the party that has a mix of interventionist internationally and populist and anti-interventionist. We're the party of Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell from the same state.
Yeah.
Both Republicans, but on paper, very have some big politics. Now, on some issues, probably 80% of issues agree.
Yeah.
But that 20% is a pretty big 20%. Yeah.
It's like Kentucky in general's got that. So.
But think about it. That's the same party, same state.
Very different people, very different ways. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Lietta, who's calling from Colorado on line three. Lietta, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I want to thank you all for what you're doing in supporting and fighting our government in Colorado and the other states that are not allowing candidates to be put onto the ballot. It feels very unconstitutional to me and totally wrong.
Listen, this is what we believe. It's unconstitutional. We think it violates due process. We think it actually violates the principles of the 14th Amendment. It violates a lot of state laws that are on the books. And again, this is interference with the primary process. I mean, you got to give the Democrats credit. They go for the jugular, and it's not just Democrats. I think this is also a problem with Washington. And when people say, oh, what's wrong with all the Republicans? Remember, it is Republican lawyers in Washington, D.C. who are funding these efforts to take Donald Trump off the ballot. I'll repeat that again.
Yeah, I think
Republican lawyers in Washington, D.C., the most high-profile, well-known in the political world. You're not going to see them on TV. But names you know if you're in politics at big Republican law firms are helping and assisting the effort of liberal Democrats to prevent Donald Trump from going on the ballot because he isn't good for their business, because he hasn't hired them.
Yeah, and I think that should be a wake-up call for a lot of people, really what happens in Washington, D.C.
And the Republican Party, which I just said, It is not the Republican Party you probably think it is. And look how they treated Donald Trump, even the Republican Party. Not so great.
Well, and now we're currently on this situation with the 14th Amendment. I think this gives us a good opportunity as we wrap up the show, Jordan, to discuss what we're doing currently and how people can get involved.
Yeah, obviously these cases, listen, I mean, we start and, you know, it gets a lot of attention in the news, in the media, and you've got to actually battle it out. That's what we do with the ACLJ. We're not just talking about it for the 2 days it's important in the media, but we want to make sure that your right to vote is not infringed on in this election. And these are, you cannot just take these and kind of just shrug your shoulders and say, I think we'll win these out ultimately. These are strategically filed in some of these states where they think they've got a Secretary of State who will say, I think Donald Trump committed insurrection, so I'm not going to count the votes. And so you've got to be willing to fight this out all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court if necessary. So we filed representing state Republican parties in Colorado, West Virginia, Oklahoma. In Minnesota, we're going to be filing an amicus brief. We filed the initial motion there. And there, again, is where it's important to sign our petition. So on that, we're really representing you, the ACLJ members who have signed the petition. Over 100,000 people have done that at ACLJ.org. We're working to get to, and it's a big number to get to on a petition, to 150,000,
yeah.
Logan.
But yeah, we celebrated it. 100.
We're going to continue these cases. We're working with more states, too, behind the scenes. And ultimately, this it could be decided by the United States Supreme Court, especially if you get some of these liberal states and liberal state court systems who are ruling against you all the way. So you've got to be ready. And I say it's the long-term battle. It's a long, short-term battle here. So you have to have a lot of resources to deploy very quickly because these are all cases that are moving at the most rapid pace possible because they have to be determined before ballots are printed for the primary.
Yeah, that's coming up really quick. So go to ACLJ.org right now to sign that petition. I'm trying to hit 150,000 currently, sitting around 109,000. So that's great. We're well on the way there, but you need to be a part of it. Also, while you're there, please support the work of the ACLJ and please tell your friends, text your friends this petition, share it on social media. If you've already signed it, that's a great way to also engage, not just through signing it and being done. Make sure you tell people about it and get them to sign as well. Go to ACLJ.org, donate now, stop this election plot, but also just really join us and look at the incredible work that's happening at the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. I always say that, but I mean it. You can go over there. Sure, I want you to sign the petition. Absolutely, I want you to donate and support the work. That's how we're able to keep this broadcast going, how we're able to get all these legal cases going. However, look at the incredible content that we have available to you right there at ACLJ.org. Talk to you next week.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.